Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Has anybody felt the Lord chasing after you? You know, I tried to run away from him many times. How about you? I didn't realize it was him behind me chasing me. Damn, it's Jesus. I'm here for you. Step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. I love that song. You've led me through the fire. You've the darkest night. You're close like no other. Knowing you as a father, I've known you as a friend. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he doesn't give up on us. Amen. Sometimes we don't even know what we're running from. We just want to run. But he's a good father. Well, Lord, we're here. You're here. We need to hear from you, Lord. We need your information for us. Please take what I share, and it's totally you, Lord. Enlighten us. Speak through me, Lord. May your message be glorified, because you are glorified. Amen. So, faithfulness. Faithful. A faithful and true friend. I gotta introduce you to somebody like that. Anybody want to be introduced to a faithful and a good friend? I'm talking about my Jesus. So when we hear this word faithfulness, what is it that we can expect? When we think of God and his relationship to us, the word faithfulness describes God as a being dependable, loyal, stable. We're going to look into his word in some scriptures here throughout today, maybe into next week, who knows. But we're going to kind of track this throughout scriptures a little bit, looking at this faithfulness, the true Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Definition of a biblical faithfulness means steadfast loyalty, unwavering reliability, and a consistent commitment, reflecting God's inerrant character and serving as a key human response to him. We can understand that. We understand what reliability is. We know what loyalty is, but we also know when it's not working well. We know when we look at it in the world's ways of looking at loyalty and reliability that we can't really trust the world and what's going on out there. But trying to get into that of the kingdom of God, we have to begin to understand that with God, there is a difference. There is true character. There is true ability to trust him and the loyalty that he has for us. It encompasses God's absolute trustworthiness in keeping his promises and his unchanging nature. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? I am so thankful that he does not change. And it calls believers to similar actions. See, now that where it gets to us. As he is faithful, he is looking for us as his children to be what? Faithful. That we too need to be reliable. Our loyalty needs to be steadfast. Our commitment needs to be consistent with that of serving and being with God. And he's looking for that. He's looking for a committed people. Do you think he finds everybody out here committed? And especially, you know, we're looking at the church world. You know, are we finding a lot of churches out there committed to what God is? If I was to look at that faithfulness of what God is, and he's looking at me now from this side, is he seeing that in me? I hope and pray, but I know it's got to get better for me to him. I got to get more faithful. I got to get more reliable with him. I have not attained where I need to be with him, but I'm there closer than what I started out, as we all should be. But don't let that be a stumbling or a hindrance to say, well, I've been doing this for so many years and I just don't seem to be close enough. You're closer to him today than you were yesterday, okay? But continue to keep that desire, to keep that in your being, that you want to get even closer to him. But anyway, It encompasses God's absolute trustworthiness in keeping his promises and his unchanging nature, and it's calling believers to that similar action of trust, obedience, and devoted service in our relationships with him. And not just with him, but guess what? With each other. We got to be faithful to others around us. We have to show that faithfulness, that love. Whatever you can describe God, Jesus, you know, of, that has to be in us so that it's living through us to be able to be seen by those around us. And it's not to put a light on you, but we are that light, but it's to put a light on that of God shining through us to where people wonder, how can you be like that? It's because of my Lord and Savior in me by the Holy Spirit. We got to have a drive. We've got to have a desire to do more for God. God's faithfulness is the core attribute of God, meaning he is constant, reliable, and true to his word and true to his covenants. That's why we can rely upon God's word. That's why when we read his scriptures that we can look at these things and know that they are his word. And what his word says, he will do. He will perform his word at his time in our life. Our part is we need to surrender and say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. I'm an open vessel. Fill me. And don't stop filling me, Lord. And that means that for us, we've got to keep our vessel open. Keep your vessel open to God so that he can continually refill and fill and refill and even put newness in you. Amen. I like to be refilled with the things that I've got as the Spirit pours out. As we pour the Spirit in, we pour the Spirit out. But I also want to look for even greater things from my God, that I'm learning even more of him in a more special way. Is that a word that I want to use? I don't know. But in a more closer way, in a more real way with him, that I know that I know that I know. Are you there yet? That you know that you know that you know. But I know this. There's more that I need to know, right? But I want to encourage you that where you're at, I would believe God is pleased with you. Because you're making that effort. You're trying. You're not giving up. Don't give up. Hold on, my child. You know, John said, joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour is just before the dawn. We find that in all of our walk with him, that we go through stuff, that the light is coming, that the weight is going to be lifted, that you're going to be able to walk out through this darkness into light and let that light continue to be around you. But it's a continuation, it's an ongoing thing that we've got to keep before us. And it demonstrates God's deep commitment to the people, assuring them that his promises will be fulfilled even when circumstances are challenging. He's faithful and true. Then we're going to find this out as we go through scriptures, and the scripture speaks to that of God, of that of Jesus, being faithful and true. But we also find out we really need him more when we do have what? Challenging circumstances. For those here today, if you're able to hold on to God even through a difficult time, praise God. Don't let go. Don't think that, well, if I let go, I'm just going to do it on my own, because it's not going to last and it's not going to work. But I'm going through this and I'm a child of God. It's hurting. It's challenging. I don't know what I'm doing. It's a hard time. We all have those hard times, challenging times, difficult times. But that same God that I'm serving, that same God that you're serving, he's still that same God that's going to be in those circumstances, and that he's still going to pull you through those circumstances. And I believe if we can get the right thought process and our demeanor into that area, is that I want to come through it with joy. I want to come through it with the strength of joy. Let joy, the merry heart doeth good like medicine, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, the devil knows he can win when we're going through challenging times and we're begrudging and we're angry and we're mad and we can't take it any longer. And now I'm getting upset with God and he's nowhere to be found and what is going on? The devil's smiling. Yay! You're getting ticked off at God. I want the devil to see me laughing and joyfully, knowing that my God is going to see me through this challenging time. And I cannot do it on my own strength, my own abilities. Can you? We need his abilities. We need his strength. But that's where this word, that faithful and true friend, comes in. Because of his faithfulness, we as believers can rely upon him. And it serves that as a source of comfort and strength. And that's God's part. Maybe a little bit later we'll look at the human side of faithfulness. So when we look at this in relationships and to the word faithfulness as described in God's word and being dependable and loyal and stable, you can really find it. And we're going to go to Psalms 89. A couple of psalms that really point to this is Psalms 89. And there's, I mean, it's all throughout the Bible, okay? So it's kind of hard to say, this is really the one. But 89 is pretty powerful. 119 is really good, but it's also the longest psalm in the in the Bible. And the biggest chapter, it's got like 176 verses. But we're not going to go to that. But we're going to go back to Psalms, and we're going to just kind of pick out a little bit here on 89, Psalms 89. It talks about, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your what? Faithfulness to some? To all. To all. All generations. It's not just back then at David. It's not just back then in the Old Testament. It's not just with the Israelites. It's not just back then. It's for all generations. The generations there, the generation that we're in now, and for what? Future generations, as long as the Lord shall tarry. But I like that where it says, oh, Father, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Remember that chorus that we used to sing way back, right? Does it come to mind? Somebody want to sing it? Okay. It goes, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the Lord, of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known his faith, or thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. Yeah, there you go, Linda. Here. No. No, I don't got that. Thank you for helping me with those words, though. But those choruses, those things are out there. It comes out of a lot of psalms on that. But yes, his faithfulness. We have a faithful Jesus. And Jesus is God in flesh, so we got a faithful God. The Holy Spirit is that of the Trinity, so we've got a faithful Holy Spirit. We've got the three in one, each one doing their assigned task, the times of what they were about at that time. Of course, God is overall creator, but each and every one is faithful. Faithfulness. I probably already talked about this in faithfulness, but now I'm going to turn a little bit more here to faithful in my Bible out of some of the terminologies here and definitions. Faithful. It's a firmness, stability, fidelity, conscientiousness, steadiness, certainty, that which is permanent. Enduring. That which, when we hear the word faithful, faithfulness in the Bible, it's enduring. My goodness, it's steadfast. Oh, it's permanent. It comes from this root, A-M-A-N, to be firm, to be sure, established, steady. We get that with amen, is derived from that word. And I've said this one time way back with some of my messages, but when we hear somebody and somebody says something, you go, amen to that. You're affirming it with faith. Amen. So, amen is derived from the same root meaning, it is firmly and it's truly so. Mm-mm-mm. So it's okay to say amen. Amen? Amen. Okay. It is often translated faithfulness or truth, as truth is considered something ultimately certain, stable, unchangeably fixed. We can get off on the weeds there with the world now and truth, right? But truth is considered something that is ultimately certain, stable, unchangeably fixed. So that's faithfulness. It's a powerful word. We can go through, I think, in verse 5 in Psalms 89, verse 5. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. Verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When the waves rise, you still them. We talked about that a little bit in the Sunday school area. You've broken, yes. Let's see. Let's go down. It's not just kind of skipping through where you will find that word faithful or faithfulness. But I think we're getting the crux of it, that the Lord, the God, is faithful. Again, you can look through 119, and when you read through 119, it's just so powerful of the message that you get out of it, that it just builds you up and gets you strong. The word for faithful in the original language means category-wise. Okay, we've already went through the meanings enough on that. I think we've probably that. One area here that I looked at, the word translated true means faithful, or truthful, I should say, are characterized by expressing the truth. The nature of Jesus Christ, his whole being, exudes faithfulness and truth. That word exude, it flows. The nature of Jesus Christ, his whole being, flows faithfulness and truth. Here's another word that you can make up for exudes is oozes. The nature of Jesus Christ, his whole being, oozes faithfulness and truth. I mean, it just comes out of him. He cannot be not faithful. He cannot be not true. He cannot tell a lie. It's all truth all the time. You know, morning, noon, or night, it's truth. Jesus doesn't lie. God doesn't lie. Both of them, they just ooze out. My goodness. Ooh, hallelujah. Scripturally explicitly calling Jesus faithful and true. Look at Revelations 19:11. Let's jump in. And there's a couple of areas in Revelations 19. Other areas in that we might look at. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful, and he was called true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Hallelujah. That's one part there, but we find out there he is, faithful and true. That's speaking of Jesus. In Revelation 3:14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen. Now who is the Amen? Jesus. Go back to Revelations 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins and his own blood. So here it is in verse 5, Revelations 1:5, and Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. So then we get over here to, what did I just say, 3:14. When it says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning of the creation of God. So we go through many scriptures and revelations. It speaks where Jesus is called the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Other verses demonstrates his faithfulness and truthfulness, including that of Hebrews 13:8, where he's the same yesterday, today, forever. There's that faithfulness, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. John 1:19, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. He's faithful to forgive us that. 1 Peter 4:19 talks about entrust your souls to a faithful creator. Here again, it's just magnifying this word in scriptures of the faithfulness of God. So as we are serving God, as we are, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I am serving someone that is truth and someone that is faithful. So no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's hitting me on this side of heaven, I can go to him and he knows and he's going to have the answer. He's going to have what I need. He's got what you need to get through that situation. No matter how bad it is or how good it is, he will help you get through that particular situation. And I can trust him for that. We find the same faithfulness as well in Jesus, okay? So Isaiah, I want to jump into that real quick. I got some things here. Isaiah 11:5, and you can turn there, but I can read it to you. And this is pretty cool. 11:5. Isaiah 11:5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Now, I was just a little bit of time I had waiting until I could come out here. I just kind of looked at that again, and I was just read that scripture back before I got here. And I began to look at that, and I just quickly thought, well, Lord, that's good. Righteousness shall be the belt of the loins, and the faithfulness will be the belt of his about his waist. What holds up our pants? Belt. When I look at that, or suspenders, belt, is that, okay, so if I'm looking at righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. To me, the faithfulness that walks, as Jesus walks, the faithfulness that he walks in, it holds everything together. It holds his word to perform it. It holds what God says he will do. He will perform it. So with faithfulness, and we get into what we are to be as followers of that, and the faithfulness that he's expecting from us, it should hold us together with him as well. This belt, it holds up. Faithfulness belt. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, thank you for that. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. We've already opened up, and I've looked at Revelations 19:11. We looked at Revelations 1:5, 3:14. Hey, we might get out of here before you know it. Hebrews 2:17. Hebrews 2:17. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, lead us on a path. I wasn't much into scavenger hunts, but I love going through God's Word. It's like you're just hunting through and you're finding all these things, okay? So here we are, Hebrews 2:17. What does it say? Let's find out together, okay? Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, and he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Since a high priest must be one with the people in order to represent them, the incarnation was indispensably to the atoning work of that of Jesus. So here again, merciful and faithful high priest. Hebrews 3:2. Therefore, holy brethren, verse 1, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confessions, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. Moses was faithful. See, that's where, when we get to the other side of the coin, to where as people following him, that we are expected to be what? You're expected to be faithful. We might say that word and stutter sometimes, faithful. But we are expected to be faithful to that of God. Jesus died for us. No love for a man more than to lay down one's life, right? We've talked about that. So as we begin to speak on the areas of faithfulness, we are speaking and reflecting in the lives of his people. See, he's expecting the same from us. And I can't get that enough. I'm speaking to myself, I guess, but the importance of the faithfulness of myself to him. My goodness, guys, he died for me. He died for you. Sometimes we will get there possibly, but in the garden where he had the disciples there and they couldn't even stand watch with him while he went in to pray, And he comes back to him, my gosh, can't you even stay awake a little bit? I'd look at that as thinking, my goodness, what would the Lord think of me at times when he's asked me to do something or to be alert or to stay this or do that? And he would say, Tim, I couldn't even rely upon you to do that. What's wrong? And then we have a come to meet in Jesus time, right? Oh, Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to be able to be faithful enough to you, Lord, that I bring honor and glory to you, and that, Lord, you can count on me. Can he count on you in the things that we go through in this life? Yes, all the things that we have to deal with, but can he count on us, the faithfulness of us, to go out and do what he's asked us to do? What's the main thing he's asked us to do? Spread the gospel. He didn't ask you to go out and heal people. He didn't ask you to go out and build churches. He didn't go out and say anything like that. He said, just go share and spread the gospel, the good news. And as we spread this out, we'll find that as it goes further out, that it's touching lives. We find throughout times of history that when something horrendous happens, that we can go back into the Acts, and we can go back to when Rome tried to squelch out anything of Christianity and the people and the apostles and things going, the disciples, whatever, going out, that when they tried to squelch it, it went further, it went faster, it multiplied. We find that in our days today. You can go back through history, and any time it's been kind of squelched or being stamped out, it just seems to be like, I think John has shared at times, where it's like when you go and you stomp on a fire, and all those little embers do what? Goes out into the air. And so God's plan is, it will not be extinguished. His message and his hope that he's sharing will not be extinguished by man. No way. It will not be extinguished by that of the devil. As much as the devil tries to stop it and quench it. You cannot quench the power of God. You cannot quench the power of the Holy Spirit. For the power is that of God. The power they had at Pentecost. My goodness, the powerful time when the church was born. Pentecost. Coming of the Holy Spirit, the power. Because Jesus knew we needed a power source. He was the power source. But when he left, he said, I go. He comes, the Holy Spirit. We found out all the things that we get from the Holy Spirit. But I think the one big thing, too, that we get is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Anybody sense the power within you? When you feel weak and down, and allow the Spirit to come upon you, do you ever feel like the Spirit picks you up and lifts you up and girds you, undergirds you to the point to where you can be strong and you can speak and call things as though they're not, but call them to being, right? You prayer warriors do that a lot, right? You're just praying and praying and praying and calling things in the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is great. But I'm going to tell you, what comes in the Spirit will also manifest within the manifestation of things on this earth as well. And we will be able to see them with our spirit or with our physical eyes. We will see miracles. We will see God's unfolding promises continuing to happen. We will see the mightiness of God go forth before us as we go across whatever it is that we've got across. If we have to go across a ravine, if we have to go across some kind of I don't know what. A hole in the ground. I don't know. He'll take you across it. But it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But the faith of Jesus, the faith of God, the faith of the Holy Spirit. Oh, find me faithful, Lord, as you are faithful. The same faithfulness that we are speaking should also reflect in the lives of his people. We find that by what? In the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. It speaks of, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The faithfulness that we speak of, that of what Jesus is about, oh, faithful and true friend, we find that he too is looking for us. And that fruit of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit in us, is that fruit. Love and joy and peace, long-suffering, patience, you can name whatever, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness is expected in every believer. 1 Corinthians, let's see what that says. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Stewards, the heading of my Bible, of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We find this illustration pictures that of ministers as stewards in God's household, standing between the householder and the household, and charged particularly with the task of feeding the household. A steward was in full charge of a household and was accountable only to the owner, who alone could render final decisions. The steward was expected to be faithful in dispensing to the household exactly what had been entrusted to him. In that same way, ministers are to expound nothing more and nothing less than the whole counsel of God. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel. Now, we can look at this. Yes, there's, as far as an organized type situation, pastor, podium, you're leading, you're sharing God's word. The thing to stay on task is, I feel pretty comfortable if all I do is share God's word, I'm feeling pretty safe because it's his word. And I just need to bring it to you. Maybe he helps me break it down. Maybe I can share it with you in a way that I can understand it, that you can understand it. But the whole concept of the whole thing is, it's still God's word. And you as ministers of the gospel, when you go out and share, make sure you're sharing the truthness of God's word. So we are looking at that. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And we know that, you know, we're not going to go there, but to be found faithful in a little, he will give you much. To what he has given you to do, be found faithful in it. And if it's not what you think it should be, and it's not a big grandiose thing, don't feel bad, just be faithful to do it. And be happy to serve God. And give God the glory for what he's doing. And let the reward come from God, not man. Hallelujah. Sometimes it would be the easiest to be so faithful that all you had to do to serve him was clean a urinal, sweep a floor, empty a trash can, clean a window. But those are serving God. They're in the measure of whatever it is that he's looking at. But he just says, I want to find you faithful in what you're doing. And so praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. 2 Timothy 2:2. So therefore, my sons, be strong. 2 Timothy 2. Be strong in the grace that is in what? Christ Jesus. And in the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, who wants to join us in serving God? It sounded good up until that part of, I must, what? Endure hardships. I want the easy peasy way, you know. It's not with that, with the kingdom of God. So we find in 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul establishes a pattern for the preservation and transmission of the gospel. Apostolic teaching is to be passed on to succeeding generations without addition or alterations. See, the thing that we are charged with, and even as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, friends and family, whatever, as we share God's word, what we're doing is we're passing it on. We're passing it on to the next generation, you know, as we raise our children and you know, read the scriptures, or, you know, that kids are awesome. Sometimes they'll keep you on your toes trying to explain things. But what we're to do, and because we're here, someone shared the gospel with you, right? You're here because somewhere along the line you attended a church and you were taught and you went to Sunday school and you did this and you went to different organizational things. But you were hearing the word of God over and over. And it was just something that becomes like, that's just what we do. We have the Word of God. We have a Bible. And people look at you kind of strange sometimes when you're out in the public and you open up your Bible and you're reading it at a table somewhere. But, you know, there's times that I used to do that, but now it's like with my phone, you're lifting your phone. So a lot of people now are just thinking I'm probably looking at text or reading that. Or, you know, you can go online and read a lot of good things about notes and ideas of some scriptures of what is this meaning, God? What is this about? And get commentaries online. So you can do a lot of these things. But as we are getting taught these things, and if you're teaching yourself through just reading scriptures and asking the Spirit to lead you into these things, the Spirit is the best teacher to have because He will open it and enlighten you to it. But as we come to a Sunday morning or Sunday morning in the Sunday school, or, you know, I love around the table and listening to everyone's concepts or talking about it, and it's all around that of God's Word. And we're looking at it and opening it up and sharing and giving testimony, and these things are feeding us. Did anybody take a nibble on anything that was shared this morning back in Sunday school? We just want to feed on God's Word. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but just a little bit into us to where it gets into us to where we might need it and we'll be able to share it in the future times. We go to Sunday morning and stand here and share some of the scriptures and we look at it. That's why it is so important to bring your Bible. It's so important to read along. It's so important to open it up. Now, it sometimes gets kind of crazy because if I'm reading New King James, you got NIV and you got King James and you got this and you got that. It's kind of sometimes interesting to try to follow the concept because the words are a little different. But the crux of it is what we're getting, the crux of God's Word and what He's saying. And you always want to have your Bible so that you can verify and validate what's being said. And it's very important that we don't be led astray. You got to be guarding yourself. You got to be cautious. You got to be listening, but then saying, Lord, whatever this is this right? I don't understand this. Help me understand it. Whatever the case, there's a lot of great tools out there to help. But just don't look at one tool. Look at several to see what the whole part of that is. There's so many different ideas out there. And if you can listen and read them, you'll probably come up with maybe the one little bit of common denominator that goes, oh, okay, I can see that. But anyway, God's Word is for us. He commits it. And these things that you have heard from me, and this is what, you know, we're hearing that from the message here of Paul, is that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will then be able to teach others. Remember, we're now talking about the faithfulness of the followers of Christ. We may not want to hear all of it because He's expecting a lot from us. But what He is expecting us to do, He will give us the strength to do it. Don't you believe that? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time and this day. And Father, Your word of encouragement to us helps us in so many ways. Lord, I thank You for how faithful You are. And that, Father, You continue to come. And many times, Lord, You ran after us, Lord, as we tried to run from You, but You were always there. Lord, I know that You know each and every one of us. I know that You have a plan for each one sitting in these chairs today. No matter what age, no matter how long we've been with You, there's still things to do. There's still a time, Lord, that we have got to come together, encourage one another, pray for one another, to go out, to share and to spread Your good news. But Father, thank You that we have the truth. And that what I share with someone out there, Lord, and what You've done for me, You are faithful to do it for them as well. And I appreciate that. It's something that we don't see on this side of heaven. So Lord, we thank You. We love You. Lord, as we go today, I pray a blessing on each one of us. Guide our steps this week ahead. Lord, heal our bodies where there's illnesses and weaknesses. Give us the strength where we need it. Strengthen us with Your joy. Thank You for always being there. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.